Am I on? All right. Man, what music. Good gracious. Brother Rob, that's you back there? All right. Okay. God bless you. I could have just sat back and worshiped some more on that piano playing. Let's give him another hand, man. That was awesome. Praise God. I could worship with that music. Your bulletin says that Chaplain or Don Stafford was going to be speaking today. How many of you people know Don Stafford? Okay, so you know I'm not him then, okay. I can't come in here and fake it and think I was him, but he has COVID. He and his wife Mary, and he called me Friday night and got me in touch with your pastor. My name's Howard Isom, and I'm just going to give you, I want you to turn your Bible to Psalms 137 and hold your place there, and also Ezekiel chapter 1. And I'm going to share just a little bit of something about myself, and then we'll get into these passages. Does anybody know where Ezekiel's at? I'm just kidding. I got it. It is an honor and a privilege for us to be here. We thank the Lord for this opportunity, and it's just a real joy and blessing to serve the Lord. I wanted to let you know how I know Chaplain, Chaplain Stafford, because he was a prison chaplain. I don't know how many of you know that, but he was a chaplain at Mountain View Correctional, and I think he's just getting ready to retire. And he was my chaplain as I was a resident of Mountain View Correctional for about 10 years. And he was my chaplain during that time. I did a 20-year prison sentence and was released on August 27, 21. So I've not been out that long. But boy, has God been opening doors for me to go speak and go share what great things the Lord has done. He's a mighty, you sang the song, "Are you washed in the blood?" Thank God for the blood of Jesus that'll take a sinner and he'll wash you and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness, cleanse you from all your sins, and not only cleanse you, but take that sinner. And as he transforms, as he works, as like the potter, as he molds and as he makes and as he does things for him, then he transforms him into a vessel fit for the master's use. He can take an old sinner and make a saint out of him and do great things. So I met Chaplain Stafford there in the prison system. And one of the things I wanted to share with you was when I went to prison, and ended up at Mountain View Correctional, starting off in my time. And, you know, you made a mess of your life. You've hurt people. You've been involved in sin. And you come to a place that you're thinking, this is not what my life was supposed to have ended up like. This is not the place that I really wanted to be. When you're facing a 20-year prison sentence, you're like, This is not where I was supposed to be in my life. But because of sin and rebellion and stubbornness and, you know, these foolish choices we make sometimes, that's where I was at. So I found my place in a situation, and I'm like, you know, God began working in my life, and I'm like, Lord, how do I move forward? How do I make any sense? How do I have any purpose? How do I have any meaning? How does anything good come from a bad situation? And we know he brings beauty out of ashes. We know he can take some terrible situations and do great things with them. He'll take a mess and make a message out of it. He'll do a miracle with it and turn your mess into a message. So as I began to cry out and ask God, how am I going to do this? And how do I move forward? And as I was studying on that, I came across the scripture in Isaiah 43:18-19 that became my mantra. And I had to teach on it. I joined the drama team that they had at Mountain View Correctional, Discipleship Club, and a drama team. And when you joined, you had to give a 5-minute talk on something you were struggling with. Well, I was struggling with letting go of the past. I was struggling with picking up where I was at and making some sense and moving forward. So I did a study on letting go of the past and how do you move forward. And in my studies, I came across that verse, Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember not the former thing, neither consider the days of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. And I don't know how the Holy Spirit takes His word and drops it in our heart, but He did. And that became kind of like a mantra for me. I said, God, I need new things. I need You to do new things. I need You to show me new things. And boy, He started then. He started then. This was years ago, 2005, 6, 7, 8, somewhere. And He's been doing a lot of new things. And I don't have time to get into all of it because I can't get it all in a 30-minute talk. But a lot of great things He was doing. But one of the first things He showed me about doing something new was found in this scripture in Psalms 137. And He used Ezekiel as an example to me of how He would do new things in my life. So I want to read chapter 137 of Psalms, a few verses. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion, there we hung up our harps on the trees. For our captors there asked us for songs, and our tormentors for rejoicing, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange or foreign land? If you know the history of the Jews, they had been taken into captivity into Babylon from Jerusalem because of their sins and their transgressions and their rebellion and one thing and another. And they found themselves in Babylon. And I want to make a notice. I'll share this with you. I had a little shrine set up in my room at Mountain View Correctional. I had a shrine with my son's picture, my daughter's picture, pictures of 2001 and prior before I left the street. And I'm coming in every day and I'm sorry I hurt y'all and I miss y'all. And I have this little shrine. I'm still stuck when I'm remembering home. I'm stuck because I'm stuck in the past. Now they're moving on. They were hurt. They were moving on their life. So when God began to show me these new things, one thing I did, I sent all my old pictures home, and I said, you know, I need some new pictures, I need something up to date. It wasn't long I started having pictures of grandbabies on the wall, new things, getting married, my children getting married, one thing another. So a lot of new things started. But here they said, by the rivers of Babylon, and I want you to notice a word here, there we sat down and wept. There we hung our harps on the trees, and there our captives asked us for some songs. Have you ever had a there time in your life when you were there somewhere where you were weeping about the past or you couldn't make sense about what was going on? There's a number of reasons, divorces, deaths, wayward children, all kinds of reasons how we can find ourselves in a there place. There. There they were weeping. There they didn't have a song anymore. They couldn't sing a song. There they had lost their song and they were weeping. There. There they sat down. And there they were weeping. It was a place of despondency, a place of darkness, a place of hopelessness, helplessness. It was just a bad situation that they found themselves in. There. I found myself there. One day I found myself there. But I want you to look in Ezekiel chapter 1. We want to look at a man who was there in that place and what God began to do in his life. The Bible says this, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Psalm 16:11, he says, and in his presence, in God's presence, in Christ's presence, is the fullness of joy. Joy is our strength. In his presence is the fullness of joy. In this passage, And I want you to keep in mind what I just read in Psalms 137. He said, in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, it's Ezekiel talking, while I was among the exiles by the Kabar River. We just read they were sitting down by the river, weeping and mourning. So Ezekiel starts off saying, I was sitting down there by the river. I was there with the captives, weeping, thinking about home, thinking about a better time in his life. And then the Bible said, all of a sudden, the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God there. In that place, he said the heavens were open. And all of a sudden, I began seeing visions. And if you look at the very last verse in this chapter of 1, he said there was an appearance of the likeness of the Lord's glory. And when I saw it, I fell face down. What he got a glimpse of was the glory of God. And the glory of God always, when we get a glimpse, when we get a vision of him, it always going to start changing the there that we're at. It's always going to start changing what's going on. It's always going to start, and he fell down. The proper response to when we see the glory of God is worship. It's falling down on our knees. And as I sat in those cells over the years, and I began to sing songs in the room, and I began to see the glory of the Lord come to life off these pages, I began to fall on my knees and fall on my face. There was times at Mountain View Correctional, I'd get up early in the mornings. I love getting up. I still do for about 4 o'clock in the morning, 3:30, 4 o'clock. And I would get up while it's real still and quiet in the prison. And I would get down. Sometimes I would lay on the floor. I remember one time singing, "You're the best thing ever happened to me." I'd seen the glory of the Lord. I saw the glory of the Lord in the cross. I could see Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for my sin, shedding his blood for a sinner. Sinners plunge beneath that flow. You come out clean. He makes you white. I could see the glory of him on the cross. I could see the glory when I went to the tomb that he had resurrected. I saw a resurrected Jesus. Not one still laying in the tomb. Not one still on the cross. But a resurrected. I saw the glory of him. I saw the glory of him in his ascension. And his sitting down at the right hand of the Father. I saw his glory as the King of kings and Lord of lords. As the conqueror of everything in life. Of all sin, all trouble, every circumstance, whatever it is. I began to see the glory of the Lord. And boy, the proper response is worship. And then obedience, of course, comes after that. But falling down, worshiping him. Ezekiel said, all of a sudden, heaven opened up. Aren't you glad that heaven opened up sometimes? You get in this word sometimes. You hear a song sometimes. Something. You hear a devotion. You read something. And all of a sudden, heaven opens up. And the Son of God starts shining down on your life. The glory of the Lord. He saw his glory. So he had a fresh vision of the Lord. He also had, if you'll look in the verse 3 of this chapter, the word of the Lord came directly to the priest Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to him. And it's a great study if you ever study about the word of the Lord and what all it means, what all it involves. And it's God manifesting his plan, his purpose to your life. God speaking directly to you. And you know, he'll speak to us right out of his word sometimes, or right out from a minister. I think one of the guy right here said something about it a few minutes ago. God will speak to us. So he said the word of the Lord. He got a fresh word. I want you to look at chapter 2 about this word. Well, he said at the end of chapter 1, verse 28, he said, he fell face down when he saw this glory, and he heard a voice speaking to him. Then look in chapter 2, verse 1. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. If you look in chapter 2, verse 8, he said, And you, son of man, listen to what I tell you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving you. So I looked and I saw a hand reaching out to me, and there was a written scroll in it. And when he unrolled it before me, it was written on the front and the back. Words of lamentation, mourning, and woe were written on it. God was handing him a word, a scroll, and it wasn't written. It didn't have a lot of blessings on it. It didn't have a lot of, I love you, or I'm with you, or God never forgets you or forsakes you. It was woes and lamentations and judgments. He says, Son of man, eat what you find here. Eat this scroll, then go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me the scroll. He said to me, Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your belly with this scroll I'm giving you. So I ate it, and look what he said it was. And it was as sweet as honey when I ate it. Boy, there's nothing like getting you a good dose of the Word of God. All of it. All Scripture's profitable. All of it's good for our doctrine, our teaching, our correction, our instruction. All of it's good. Sometimes it'll whip us up one side, down the other. It'll challenge us. It'll convict us. But we take the Word. We eat the Word. We ingest the Word. We apply the Word. We make application. And the Word becomes a part of us. So he said he had a fresh Word from the Lord. Not only that, I want you to look in verse 1 again of chapter 1, verse 3. The very last sentence says, And the Lord's hand was on him, where? There. And the Lord's hand was on him there. That's my word again, there. If you look at chapter 3, verse 14, he says this, about the end of the verse, he said, And the Lord's hand was on me powerfully. There's nothing like a touch of his hand. You see it all through the Gospels, how he would touch me, and men would come to him, people would come to him, the leper would come to him, the most outcast would come to him, and he would touch them. Do y'all know the song, He Touched Me? Oh, He Touched Me. Now I've been made whole. Why? Because he touched me. The word of the Lord brings enlightenment. The word came to him, and God began speaking his mind to him and his plan to him and his purpose for him. God began to speak and enlighten him on what God was doing there. What was taking place, what he was going to do. And if you read the rest of the book of Ezekiel, man, he got in on a lot of good stuff. Ezekiel did. He even got in on the new birth, talking about the new covenant, the new heart and all that stuff. Lots of great things. But God began to manifest his mind and his purpose in him. So the word brings enlightenment. But this hand of the Lord, when you see it in Scripture, it's a symbol of God's power. It's always his power. His mighty. It's all through the Scripture, his mighty right hand. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. He talks about his hand all the time. The hand of the Lord brings the enablement. The Word brought the enlightenment. The Word brought the instruction of what I want you to do. But then the hand. He said, the hand of the Lord is on me powerfully. In other words, God was equipping him and enabling him to go do what God was calling him to do. There, in that uncomfortable place Rob talked about, getting out of your comfort zone. Well, they were out of their comfort zone. They were not in Jerusalem where the temple was. They were in bondage in a foreign land. But there, God began to do something, and his hand was mighty on him. Not only that, he had a fresh vision, he got a fresh word from the Lord, and he got a fresh touch and empowerment, enablement. When I was in school, I was in high school one time, I remember taking a zero because I wouldn't get up and give a book report. You couldn't get me to stand. I took a zero. I said, just give me a zero because I am not getting up in front of these people. The fear of public speaking, they say, is one of the number one fears that there is. I remember when I was speaking at the Mountain View Correction. We had some inmate speaking days and stuff. And I remember one time I was getting ready to speak, and they were singing a song right before I was to get up. And I mean, fear came across me, and I'm like, the devil's like, who you think you are? You can't speak. These guys don't want to hear anything you have to say. You're just a failure. You're a sinner. You're this. You're that. You're all those things. And the fear almost crippled me. I almost said somebody else speak. I can't do it. But I said, you know what? I've made a lot of messes for the enemy with my life. If I get up here and make a mess, I do it for the Lord. So be it. But boy, when I got up there, the hand, where'd it go? I'm sorry, y'all. The hand of the Lord was on me powerfully. Now, I've been in prison 20 years, so all this stuff, you know, I'm really not used to a lot of this stuff, okay? Yeah, he told me to get wired up. I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, okay, I will. But thank God we got through it, and it's working. But the hand of the Lord empowered me to stand up that day. And the hand of the Lord enables us and empowers us to do what God's put something in my soul. He's given me those visions. He's shown me without a vision, people perish. He gave me a reason to get up and a reason to move forward and how to make the best out of this mess. And not only the best, but go and help spread some good news that God can save old sinners, and he can deliver drug addicts, and he can help drunks, and he can do all kinds of amazing things because he did it for me. Been clean over 19, almost 20 years now. Been clean, drug-free, alcohol-free, tobacco-free since 2005. And I'm not preaching against tobacco or anything, but I let it go at 2005, been free, been clean. God been doing new things in my life. So today he empowered me. When they called me and said, Chaplain Stafford always called me Howie. He said, Howie, I got COVID. I'm like, all right. He said, I'm supposed to speak Sunday morning. Are you busy? I spoke last Sunday morning at a church in Caldwell and the Sunday before that, and I've been speaking quite a bit. But, you know, I normally like to have a few more days, to think about it. But he said, are you busy? I want you to call this pastor and talk to him, and we need somebody. I said, sure. How can I say no? As good as God's been to me. So you know what he does? The hand of the Lord, he gives us a word. The word came to him, and then he enables you to deliver what word God puts in our hearts. Isn't it amazing how God can do that? So he had a fresh vision, a fresh word. He had a fresh touch. And not only that, but look in chapter 2, verse 2. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. Chapter 3, verse 12. The Spirit then lifted me up. He got a fresh anointing, a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit, which we know is the power of God working in us. It's the Holy Spirit. It couldn't any of us do anything. Man, the Holy Spirit's giving you a gift, brother, to play that piano. And wow, what a great gift it is. And so he got a fresh anointing. He said, the Spirit entered me. And what did he say? And he set me on my feet. Good God. Set me on my feet. Where had they been? There. Sitting down. Weeping. Sitting down. crying about the past, just sitting down, can't move forward. They were sitting down. And he said, the Spirit got in me, and boy, he got me up on my feet. That's what he does. The Spirit is the enablement. He's the power behind what God. He said the Spirit moved across the earth when it was before he created. It was the Spirit that was moving, and God began to speak, and the Spirit does the work. So he got a fresh anointing. Not only that, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, he says, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites. On down in verse 4, he said, I am sending you to them, and you must say them to them, this is what the Lord God says. Chapter, verse number 7, he said, speak my words to them. Speak my words to them, whether they listen or refuse or are rebellious. Then he said in chapter 3, verse 4, Son of man, go to the house and speak my words to them. Then in verse 11, he says, go to your people and speak to them. Excuse me. This is what the Lord God says. So he got a brand new commission. He got a new mission from the Lord. He got a brand new ministry. He was already a priest. He was a priest while they were in Jerusalem. He had some duties as a priest, but now he doesn't have a temple, so he can't go about his duties. They're just sitting down. But now God's giving him a new mission and new ministry, just like he has Howard Isom. There's a story about four lepers, and I'm going to close with this. My timekeeper just told me time's about up. There's a story about four lepers in the book of Kings, and they're sitting outside the city of Samaria. There's a famine in the land. I love the Old Testament. I love the New Testament, but I love the Old Testament stories. There's so much you can glean from them. And these lepers are sitting out there, and there's a famine going on, and they're sitting there. Because of leprosy laws, they can't go into the city. There's no food anyway. So they're sitting there, and one of them says, why do we sit here till we die? We can't just remain sitting here till we die. We're starving to death, and we can't just sit here until we die. So they came up with a plan. Let's go to the enemy's camp. Maybe they'll have mercy on us, and maybe they'll give us something to eat. So these four lepers get up, and they start dragging themselves to the enemy's camp. And while they were moving, God was working behind the scenes, because God made the enemy hear what it sounded like was an army coming. It's only four lepers. But God made them hear what sounded like an army. And paranoia set in, and I mean, they all fled. And they left their food, they left their clothes, they left their gold, they left all their stuff. They took off running. So when the four lepers got to the camp, they found all this stuff to their amazement. And they started eating. They had been starving to death. So they began to eat. And they started hiding stuff, and all this stuff they were doing. And then one of them said, this is a day of good tidings, good news. We don't do well if we don't go back and share it with the others. We found bread. We found something. For me, for Howard Isom, boy, it's a day of good news. Not only because I got out of prison August 27th and got married, God gave me a great, a beautiful, godly woman and put us in a new house. God's been doing so many things, not just because, but because he saved me. I'm a leper who's been healed. I'm a drug addict who's been clean. I was a drunk who's sober now in my right mind most of the time. Sometimes my wife may question if I'm really in my right mind all the time. But, you know, clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because he did something. Been set free And I wouldn't be doing right if I don't go tell it. That's why we're up here this morning. That's why I couldn't tell Chaplain Stafford no. Because, boy, he has done something for me. And what he's done for me, he can. There's nobody. If he could reach me, and I could tell you my story sometime. In fact, I'm writing a book. It'll be in a book sometime. But if he could reach me, there's not anybody he can't reach. We're putting out a newsletter also. I'm sharing some messages and some testimonies from inmates who are out and doing good and testimonies of success. And I'm sending these messages back into the prison as well as anybody else who wants on the mailing list. If you'd like to receive, get on the mailing list, see us after the thing, and we can certainly get you on the mailing list because we got a lot to share. We have a lot to, we want to sow back to those men and not just them. There's people in prison everywhere. Different kinds of prisons. But Jesus wants to set us free. And I found the answer. Like those lepers, they stumbled. And maybe one of the most unlikely people for God to use. But he'll take sinners and make a messenger out of them. I don't know what you may need today. I don't know if you need a fresh look, a fresh vision, a fresh glimpse of Jesus today. I don't know what your there is, if you have one, or if you know somebody who's there in that place today. Maybe you need a fresh word from him, a word directly for you, for your situation. Maybe you need his hand on your life, on what you're doing, what you're going through. I don't know what you need communicated to you from God today, but he knows. Maybe you just need a fresh feeling just to enjoy and soak in the presence of God. Because in the presence of him is the fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And boy, we need strength. This world's a mess. I came out of prison. I thought prison was a mess. Man, I came out this world. I told one guy, I said, what in the world y'all do with my country while I was locked up for 20 years? This country is a mess. But you know what? Just like he showed in this vision, if you look, he showed that God was still in control. And he's still on the throne. Anyway, he has what you need this morning. And I just want to encourage you to love Jesus and, you know, just keep serving him with all your heart. And I thank him for the privilege and the opportunity to speak today and fill in for Stafford and your pastor. And just thank you for the time. God bless y'all. All righty.